You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Jonathan. And Jonathan has emailed in about a child dealing with separation anxiety and how to handle that. That can actually be quite tricky because there are a lot of components that actually help the child work through separation anxiety, but early on in the process, those components have not been factored in yet. So I'll read parts of his email and then I'll be able to talk through some thoughts and we'll kind of debrief that together. So he says, the background information on the client is the client has witnessed domestic abuse, has had multiple custody arrangements as mother and father, have been in and out of her life, has two older siblings, and currently lives with grandparents. Okay, so the scenario was, I'm working with a new client, just completed session two. In the initial session, the client enjoyed her time in the playroom, explored all the toys, and engaged in some power and control play as she spent time handcuffing me and a baby doll. However, in session two, the client immediately went back to the doll, handcuffing it, shooting it with a dart gun, and then sat at the table with some Play-Doh and began to cry for her Nana. I reflected her feeling of being unsafe, wanting to see her Nana, and not wanting to play. I offered her a choice to go see her Nana in the waiting room for 1 minute or 2 minutes, but she continued to cry, saying she didn't want to be in the playroom. She eventually got up from the table and headed towards the door, in which I reflected that she wanted to end her playtime and go see her Nana. Once in the lobby, she clung to her Nana and would no longer engage with me, even as I tried to continue to complete the session. I took this as normal, as she felt unsafe and had potentially just worked through something, but I was unsure what to do in the playroom once I realized she was not going to feel safe unless she left the session. I felt like I was hurting her by not allowing her to leave sooner. She cried for about 5 minutes before she left. Her grandmother seemed unsettled, but I had a follow-up conversation explaining this was normal at the beginning of the process. When children are dealing with separation anxiety in the playroom, what do we do? Okay, so Jonathan, I really appreciate this. I want to give some overarching thoughts before I dive into some more specific details. So first and foremost, let's start with the fact that grandma was unsettled and you had a follow-up conversation explaining and normalizing this. This is exactly how we handle this. Whenever something happens in the play session, before the play session, after the play session, if there's a lobby session, if the child refuses to come back, if the child cries, if the child gets upset, if the child gets injured, it really doesn't matter what the out of the ordinary circumstance is. If something out of standard process takes place, we always want to follow up with parent or caregiver to explain what happened, explain why it was therapeutically necessary, explain that it's normal. We just want to reassure them that this is part of the process and they do not have anything to be concerned about. So that was handled very appropriately. And then my second thought is, I actually did not notice this the first time I read this, and reading it out loud, it popped into my head. So I'm kind of going off script here a little bit, but I think this is really important to talk about. So what I'm just now sensing as I reread this is that the child circumvented the stages and phases. And what I mean by that is, week one, child came in and did really deep work. Exploratory play is very normal and expected, so that really wasn't so much noteworthy. But the power and control play, where she spent time handcuffing you, handcuffing the baby doll, and then session two immediately went to the doll, actually then extended that play further. So not only handcuffed it, like last time, but then shot it with a dart gun. Okay, that is after an hour of knowing you, essentially. And there was no initiation, there was no warm-up, there was no safety established, there was no trust, no rapport, no relationship, nothing was built in that 1 hour. So she dove in way too deep, way too fast, way too far. And when kids jump stages and phases, she didn't even hit resistance either. I mean, let's think through this. It's traditionally initiation, resistance, work. Well, she skipped two, went straight to work, and now she's reeling from it. So we need to be really mindful that just like the stages of grief, let's go back to Kubler-Ross, to our grad school days, right? Stages of grief, they don't always go in the little dabble do you order. By the way, if you didn't learn that, that's always, always, always the way I remember the stages of grief. You can make an acronym out of it. A little dabble, do you? Anyway, look that up. You'll figure it out. But you cannot walk around the stages. You have to walk through them. And it's the same thing in play therapy. So sometimes kids go in different orders. Sometimes they skip and have to revisit and they go back and they backtrack and they jump ahead. So it's not always quote one, two, three, four. But in this case, I deeply believe that she dove straight into work. And then by a few minutes into the second session, she was just like, whoa, I cannot do this. I cannot take this. This is too much. I don't even know this person. I don't feel safe here. I mean, that was just a lot for her to manage an hour into the process. So that is my off-script commentary. Now I'll get back to the points that I determined I was going to talk about in the first place. Okay, so let's start with the understanding that a child's play session is for the length of time that the child's play session is. And why I'm not being specific is because I know that ranges anywhere from 45 to 55 minutes. So I don't know exactly what your average time is, but let's say it's 50 minutes because that's what I do. You consistently remind the child that their playtime is for 50 minutes and the 50 minutes are for staying in the playroom. So that is a very non-negotiable component of play therapy. Now, had she not willingly come back to the playroom, then we never force a child to go back and force them to stay in there for 50 minutes. But she willingly came back and then she got really upset because she was overwhelmed. So in that scenario, we would sit in front of the door with our chair as a natural barrier to leaving. And we just continue to acknowledge that you really wish that you could go see your Nana, but we still have 30 minutes left. You can choose to go see her as soon as our playtime is over. So we would want to reassure the child over and over and over again that we've not reached the time for the play session to end yet. You really wish that you could go out and be with your Nana. You really wish you could go out and talk to Nana. You really would like to go give Nana a hug. You really would like to show Nana something. You really would like whatever the scenario is, but we still have X amount of time of our playtime left. You can choose to do whatever she wanted to do when our time is up. So that's the way that you handle when a child is wanting to go out to the lobby, leave the session, etc. So a related component, one of the things that you typed here, Jonathan, when she moved toward the door, you reflected that she wanted to end her playtime early. Okay, so let's be really intentional about our words and make it very clear what the CCPT model does and does not. You can never earn playtime. You can never lose playtime. And play sessions are never ended early because of what's going on in the play session. Now, of course, there are caveats because if a child gets hurt, you're not going to continue to do a play session. I mean, like truly hurt, like they need stitches or they have a huge bump on their head or they broke an arm or whatever. I mean, obviously, you're not going to continue a session. So extreme outliers aside, you reassure the child that we have time left to play and our play time is for staying in the room. They can't end it early. They can't earn it or lose it. And Landreth's model says that the child's playtime is the child's playtime. The Cochrane's model, they use ending playtime early as a consequence for behavior. And that is not the way I was trained, and that is not something I have ever done. So I just want to make that really clear that we would not say, oh, you're choosing to end your playtime early, because that's a slippery slope. As soon as the child believes that they have a choice to only stay in the room for 5 minutes, for example, okay, I choose to be done and you're 5 minutes in, you will never be able to rein that choice back in. So choosing to end early and or earning it or losing it is never the CCPT Landreth trained way. All right, so I wanted to make that really clear as we were talking about blocking the door. Okay. So I want to bring up another point. Unless she explicitly said that she felt unsafe, which it doesn't sound like she did, Jonathan, based on what you said, but maybe she did in fact communicate that and you just didn't make that known in the email. But several times you mentioned reflecting her feeling of being unsafe. Unless that was clearly communicated, we want to be really careful with making assumptions like that. You could have acknowledged that she felt uncomfortable. You should have acknowledged that she felt lonely. You could have acknowledged that she wanted to go see her Nana. You could have acknowledged that she was upset. All of those are concrete and visibly noticeable. But unsafe is a little bit presumptive. So unless there was some verbal or nonverbal indication that that was truly what she felt, then we would not want to say that because we need to be very concrete with what we're observing and what we can factually say to a child. So unsafe would be a little bit too far in the, I'm kind of giving my take on what you might be feeling rather than this is evidenced by your behavior or what you've said to me. So just as a general rule, we want to make sure that anything we reflect, we can very factually say that because it's evident, not because we're guessing. Okay, and then another thought. Obviously, this is an attachment issue at its core, right? I mean, we can go back and say she skipped stages and then she was kind of reeling from it and didn't know how to handle it. So that's catalyst. But at its root, we understand this is an attachment issue. She has had multiple custody arrangements, meaning she doesn't really have secure attachment. So mom's out of the picture, in and out. Dad's out of the picture, in and out. She's been under the custody of multiple different people. Now she's living with grandma and grandpa. She's been a witness of domestic abuse. So you can see how the one constant, the one source of comfort, the one stability in her life is probably her grandmother. And obviously it was an attachment rooted issue, but you can see that it was actually a cry for comfort. She wanted to be comforted by her grandmother because she was really upset. So while we can see the attachment, we can see separation anxiety to a degree, but we understand there's a much deeper issue in this scenario. So here's what I think is the trickiest part of this, Jonathan. You didn't have a relationship with this client yet. You were an hour or so in to your work with her. So in a further along in the journey client, even if a client is crying, even if a client is upset, even if a client needs comfort, even if a client is overwhelmed emotionally, the relationship is already established and therefore the safety and security are also a component of that. In this particular instance, because it was the second session early on in that session, it's a little bit harder to really stick to the, you really wish you could go see your Nana, but we still have 25 minutes left. You can choose to go see her when we're all done. That is a lot harder because the client, we kind of have this sense that the client shouldn't suffer when they have no one in the room that they feel connected with. So in this particular case, I would have actually amended your choice a little bit because you gave her a choice to go see Nana in the waiting room for 1 minute or two. But as soon as the child leaves the playroom, there's a really good likelihood they're not going to come back to the playroom. So I would have actually given her the choice that Nana can come back to the playroom for 1 minute or 2 minutes. Which does she choose? You really want to see Nana. I wonder if you choose for her to come back for 1 minute or 2 minutes. So then Nana comes back to the playroom and then when the 1 or 2 minute, and of course she's going to choose 2 minutes, right? So then when the 2 minutes are up, Nana just walks out the door and shuts it and you are sitting right next to the door so the client cannot follow. So then the client was able to have the comfort, have the connection, make sure that grandma's still there, make sure that she's going to be there when the session is over, a little bit of a check-in, but it doesn't involve you leaving the playroom with the client, which is going to make it much trickier to get back into the playroom when the child is that upset. And here's why I want to touch on one final point you said. I felt like I was hurting her by not allowing her to leave sooner. Okay, so I've heard that sentence from so many therapists in so many different ways. I'm going to rework that premise for you, Jonathan. We are never hurting a child. Nothing that we do that's therapeutically adherent to CCPT ever hurts a child. When we set limits, the child can get upset, the child can get angry, the child can cry, the child can be very dysregulated. We're not hurting them. We are never doing anything to hurt a child when we use CCPT skills. So in that moment, when you said, I didn't allow her to leave sooner, she could have had a choice of a parameter that you were okay with, Nana coming back to the playroom, for example. But the choice of leaving the playroom early before the session is over is not one of the choices. One of the non-negotiables is that the playroom is where you stay for the entirety of your playtime. So if it's a 50-minute session, the child is back there for 50 minutes with you. That's non-negotiable. That's how the work is done. And so I want to kind of help you retool the way that you were feeling. You were not hurting her, and it wasn't that you were not allowing her to leave. You were setting limits on what the expectations are. And here's why this works. Because kids need to learn how to work out their own emotions and their own experiences. They can't be rescued. They can't be protected. They can't have someone swoop in and just let them avoid what they need to face. She was really, really dysregulated, which means she has no emotional vocabulary, which means she has no coping skills, which means she has no resilience. And two sessions in, of course she doesn't. She hasn't built those yet. But the only way she builds them is if she's given opportunities to build them. So that was actually a very therapeutically valuable thing for her to sit there with how big her feelings were, and for you to reflect those, and for you to validate, and for her to feel understood. Those were all actually very helpful things, not hurtful. So we have to make sure that we're approaching these situations with the mindset of when we are adherent to CCPT, we are only ever helping the child. They may not like it. They may not feel like it. They may get really, really upset. But that is actually their way of building the tools and the skills that they need when they get to practice those things. So Jonathan, really, thanks so much for the email. I hope that was a help to all of you, because it's always tricky when a child is crying in our playroom. It's always tricky when a child says that they have to go out and see a loved one. I just want to give them a hug. I just need to see if they're sitting out there. I mean, those are difficult conversations and moments in play sessions. So really appreciate you emailing in, Jonathan. If you have a question or something for me, please reach out, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.